this here with Shani. Maybe we did this last year. We got past this. Let's see. Okay, Ruvein Bechor Yisrael. Let's try to learn over here. Just whatever basics we can, whatever we can basically learn. All right, here we go. Ruvein, you are the Bechor. Let's just move this to the side. It's in the way over here. All right, a little better now. Ruvein Bechor Yisrael. Ruvein is the Bechor of Yisrael. Bnei Ruvein, who are the children of Ruvein. Chanoich, Meshpachas HaChanochil, Befalu, Meshpachas HaPalui. Okay, so we're not going to really go through all these things, obviously, in very great detail. Rashi over here, we have over here, at least a very important Rashi. Rashi Pasakei Meshpachas HaChanochi. Dealing over here with the different tribes over here, with describing over here a census. This, the beginning of Parashas Pinchas, is a census. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to count the Jewish people. And we're starting over here with Ruvein. And Rashi, it says, Meshpachas HaChanochi, Lefi Shoyu Ha'umas Mevazin Oysam. Okay, the nations of the world were mevazin, would put them down, would disparage the Jewish people. They would say, why are the Jewish people coming to take pride in their yichus? Svudin hein shlo shaltu hamitzriim be'imoseihem. In other words, do you really think that the Egyptians did not have forbidden relations with the Jewish women? If the Egyptians had control over our bodies, over the men, so certainly the Egyptians had control over the wives. Therefore, that is why in all of the Shvatim we find this principle called the Yud. We're putting over here the Yud at the end and the He at the beginning. His name really is Chanoich. Chanoich is Ches Nun Chof. Why is there always the Hey in the beginning? Ha Chanoich. And why is there Yud at the end? So Rashi answers this question and tells us because these two letters are Hashem's name. Ki Beko Hashem Tzur Olamim. Hashem created the world with these two letters, and therefore Hashem is surrounding every one of the tribe, every tribe with the name of Hashem to testify that the lineage is pure. And there was no averus done. Ma'ilum, so the answer of his in the Gemara of Levicha hit like the Shmuel Shmuel Lehem. Hey, mitzad ze, the Yud mitzad ze. Loimar to say, made ani alehem. I testify, sheheim bnei avoseihem, that they are the children of their forefathers. Vezehu shemufarosh al yidei David. This idea was said by David Hamelach. What did David Hamelach say? Here's the next page. Shiftei ko. Eidus li Yisrael, the tribes of Kah, that is a testimony to the Jewish people. Hashem Hazed, this name of Kah Yud Kei, Toli, is this name Meid Alehem, is a testimony. L'shif Tehen, Lefichach, therefore, Bekulam, cause of Hachanochi, Hapali, we have a Heidi Yud, Avol be Yimno. The question is, why when it comes to the person, the tribe called Yimno, there is no hay in front of Hayimni. Lufi Shahim Shahashem Kavua Boy. Yud Birosh the Hey Bisoif. Yimni does not say Yimno. Avul be Yimno does not say Hayimni. It just says simply Yimno. Because the Yimno already has a Yud in the beginning and a Hey at the end. So there's no need to go make anything special. Okay, let's see if time over here says anything special on Pasuk Hey, Ruben Buchra, the Yisrael, B'nai Ruben, Chanoich. See over here, is Chanoich, the Chanoich. Zar is the Zera of Chanoich. So notice what the Targum does. Targum over here it's very fascinating. Chanoich, when the Targum translates the word Ha Chanoichi, the Targum leaves out the Hey and the Yud. He just says Chanoich, Ruvein, Buchla d'Yisrael. I'm sorry.
He puts the word Zarit to help.
Zaris means that's the mishpachas. The word Zaris means the seed. It means the mishpacha. Now it's a very good point. What is that the correct word for mishpachas? Let's see. But he says over here at least the word Hachanochi. The Targum omits the hey and the yod and just says Chanoich. Obviously, that's exactly why Rashi made his comment. This is another proof that our principal, Rashi, is not writing just a Sefer. Rashi is writing a commentary on the Targum. Rashi saw how he translated this pasuk, Bnei Ruvain, Chanoich, the family of HaChanoichi, and Rashi read the Targum, Chanoich, Zaris, Chanoich. Excuse me, Targum, what in the world happened to the Ha, the He, and the Yud? Why did you leave it out? So the Rashi is not coming to criticize, yes, but Rashi over here saw that the Targum left out the Yud and the He. Rashi comes to the rescue. Excuse me over here. You know why? There is supposed to be a significance in the hand of Yud, because Lefisha Yechomus Omavaznoisam. Rashi has always come to pick up on the nuances of the Targum. Kedel Lefalu, and then we have over here Lefalu Beshvachas Palu. You see, again, he leaves out the He and Zaris Paliza, the He and the Yud. It's also interesting over here that we have in one pasuk, we have two tribes, Ruvain, Bechorun, it's all part of Ruvain, but we're including together two different family branches of Ruvain. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Now let's first see on the side. Let's just a quick look over here to see what is over here. On the side over here, pasuk Chanoich, Av Shederech Hamikul Chayseh Pesoyf Shem Hamishpacha Ois Yud Chanoichi. How come over here? Chanoichi. Now it should say what happened to the Yud, like we said, like we said before. So let's see. We'll just have to just turn the Targum over here on top. The Perush Palu'i. Okay, Palu'i, Chetzroini, Onkelis Ein Darkoi Bekach. He leaves out the Yud. Ula Bimnei Shohesofas Hayud Bo Rak Lesibas Hadrush Ein Rashi. So therefore, since the Yud over here is just for a drush, it's not part of the real essence of the name, he left it out, and the Targum is not in the business of telling us the drushes of Chazal. The Targum is just here to give us a very raw translation. Umetagim Zadis Chanoich, Zaris Palu, Zaris Chetzroin, Haklalu Nochoin, L'chol Arboim V'Arba Mishpoches. And that's a very nice detail he told us over here. He counted for us. The Ma'at Sori, he counted all the families. If you go down the entire 12 tribes, there are 44 families. Isn't that amazing? If you ask anyone off the street, how many tribes are there in the Jewish people? They'll without a blink, they'll say there are 12 tribes. And maybe someone who's more sophisticated might tell you, well, there's 13 tribes because Yosef was broken down into Ephraim and Manasseh. And then some people will tell you, no, Levi doesn't count, because Levi didn't get a chilek in the land, so really when Ephraim and Manasseh was split, and Yosef was split into two, that's the compensate because we're not going to count Levi. You'll hear a million answers, but basically, Atreos or Miodea, when you say in the Haggadah, Trei Osar Miodea, Trei Osar Aniodea, Trei Osar Shiftaya. There are 12 tribes. But how many people know the secret that there are 44 families? Even though you're a member of a tribe, you know there are different families. There are 44. If we only came to learn that information, that itself would be Kedai. What is the significance of number 44? So let me look at my notes. I have a little thing. I have a little hobby. Every time I have a number, when I have time, I write down the number. I always try to keep track of the numbers. I have over here one number. There are 44 Neirois of Chanukah. So now we have a drasha. So for next Chanukah, you can make a drasha. Why is it in Chanukah? It's 8 days. 8 days, you count downwards. So with the Shamash, there are 44 candles. When you buy a box of candles, how many candles come inside the box? 45. Why 45? I don't know. We only need 44. There are 44 candles for Chanukah. What are the 44 keneged? So we can make a drush. A drush because there are 44 mishpachos in Klal Yisrael. Okay, Mark, you like that vart?
Thank you.
Okay, what else is there 44? 44 is also, by the way, is begematria dam. Blood. Is blood. Is dam. What is the significance of that? There is something. What I'm trying to remember, how many Avinu Malkeinus are there? How many Avinu Malkeinus are there? There's only one God. There's only one Avinu Malkeinu. But how many times do we say that expression? I forgot. Let me go look it up. Oh, do I have it over here? How many times do we say? I think it could be we say 44. I think that's Taka 844. Okay, I didn't write it down. Can I, I didn't even write this down. Could be, I didn't write it down. Let me touch one more thing to see Dam. I wrote anything down about Dam. No, I didn't believe that. But if I'm not mistaken, there are 44 times on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we say Avinu Malkeinu Chotanu Lefanech, Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Elavot. We said yesterday, twice, Shachris and Mincha, Avinu Malkeinu, 88, total of 88 times. 44 Shachris, 44 by Mincha, 44. What else is there, number 44? 44 and Yom Kippurim. Those will you, Mark, you're learning Daf Yomi? You're learning Daf Yomi? So how many times do you sprinkle the blood of for the Avodah of Yom Kippurim? You go in the Kodesh HaKadosh and you sprinkle it 8 times par. 8 times for the so that's 16. And then you sprinkle it on the Pareches. 8 plus 8, another 16. That's 32. I can't do any math. You have to help me with the math. That's 32. Okay, yeah. 8 times 4 is 32. And then what do? You go to the Mizbeach and you sprinkle on the four and you mix the blood together. You mix the blood of the par and the sur together. And then you sprinkle on the, you apply to the four corners. That takes us up to 36, correct? 36 on the four corners. And then you sprinkle on the surface of the Mizbeach. How many times? 7 times. So we're 43. And then what do you do with the leftover blood? You take the leftover blood, you go out into the Azara, and you pour the leftover blood on the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaChitzayin. 44. So Dam, the reason why Dam is 44 is because on Yom HaKippurim, when you go Lefnai V'Lefnim, the most holy blood that comes to Mechaber for Klal Yisrael, there are 44 applications. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Is Dam, is it a coincidence that Dam happens to be 44? Coincidence. And on Yom HaKippurim, the Dam of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim is 44, which is the opposite. When Hashem made the world, Hashem said that this liquid that comes out of an animal, the lifeblood of an animal, is going to be applied 44. Ah! If the lifeblood of the animal is going to be applied 44 times, we're going to call it Dam, the Gematria 44. What's the Iker and what's the Tafel? That's always the question. What is really the cause and what is the side point? So here we learned at least one thing today. There are 44 families in Klal Yisrael. There are 44 Neres in Chanukah. There are 44 times we say and say Avinu Malkeinu. There's only one Ribbono Shel, but there are 44 times Avinu Malkeinu, and there are 44 applications of blood on Yom Kippur. Got it, Mark? You got all those 44s? Okay, yeah. Now let's go by. So if we learn over here. So we learn in this Machlekes Rashi. Rashi is obviously coming to pick up on the Targum. Rashi is looking for a good fight. Rashi's a fighter. Notice that Rashi is very tough. I have a feeling if you went to Rashi's yeshiva, it wasn't so easy. Rashi gave you a hard time. You don't get the impression that Rashi was a softy. You can step all over him. You get the impression that Rashi was a tough guy. Okay, he sure doesn't give the Targum any menucha, that's for sure. Now, lechetzroin, meshvachas hachetzroini. Okay, so we're probably gonna have to go this down very quickly over here. I'm not sure how many Rashi's there over here. The next Rashi is Pasuk Tes. Okay, so let's see. Let's maybe run down a couple of people very quickly. Eile, lechai meshvachas hakarni. Eile, meshvachas haru. Notice how you read the word. Haru veini. You see there's a line underneath the resh, a mesek, so you read it haruveini, haruveini. Actually, there's a double emphasis on the resh and then on the trop, the nun. Which one has more emphasis, the trop or the resh? The answer is the trop. The trop always has more emphasis. Haruveini, haru. It's a very funny resh. It's not haru. It's not a komat under the resh. It's not raw. It's ru, ru. The aleph is silent. Haru, haruveini, and you give primary emphasis to the nun, secondary emphasis to the resh. It'll take me about 2 hours to do this, to memorize how to say the word the right way, which I can't do anyway. Next, vayu fikulihem. Now we tell you that one of the numbers shleishav yabamelef. Now we go into the numbers Shloisha ve'arbohim elef. 30, 43. Numbers always mix me up over here. 43,730. The way you do numbers in Hebrew is always a mystery. Which numbers come first, the small number, the large numbers. Why can't there be numbers? Why couldn't they put into the Tanakh? You know, just put the numbers. Put at the top of the page. See, the top of the page is Tav Resh Vav, 400, and I'm sorry, 600. 400, Tav and Resh is 600. 606, this is page 606. Why couldn't they do that in the Torah? They put in the Torah just the number. How come they don't do that? I don't know. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in Lashon HaKodesh as putting in numbers. In Lashon HaKodesh, you put in. So, Meir, where are you? You look like you're somewhere very special. Meir, where are you now, Meir? What's the background over there? On the train! Look at that! He learns the comes to the shir even on the train. He's on the train. He's coming here to listen to the shir. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Such dedication.
Are you on the bus?
You're on the bus or on the train? And on the bus? It says Ditmas. Behind you it says Ditmas Avenue. So you're on the train, it looks like. I don't know where you are. Let's go weiter. So there we have 43,000. Ushvam Yosef, 7,730. Falu. Falu Eliyav. Uvnei Eliyav. Nimuel v'dosan v'avidam. Who dosan? Now we get honorable mention. Dosan v'avidam is always in the honorable mention. Who dosan v'avidam? Ki re'e ho'ed is a kvilach siv. It says in Pasuk there's a vav. There's a vav. And we read as if there is a yud. Kirie Hoida, what does it mean Kirie? Kirie Hoida means they were, it's a hard word, I don't even know what it means. It means they were the leaders. We have to see more precisely what that means in a moment. Asher Hitsu, what does that word mean? They made a fight. Al Moshe, they made an insurrection, an armed insurrection. Al Moshe v'al Aaron, ba'adas Kerech, amongst the assembly of Kerech, ba'hatsoi Sam, when they angered Al Hashem. That's a mouthful. That pasuk is a really a lot of stuff in that pasuk. Rashi is a short Rashi. Asher Hitzu. Hitzu Loshen Hifil. Hitzu means to make trouble, a quarrel, a fight. They caused Es Yisrael Al Moshe. They incited Yisrael Al Moshe Behatzitzam Es Ha'om when they incited the people Al Hashem. Hitzu. What's the precise translation of Hitzu? Hisu es Yisrael, they lifted up. Hisu means to raise. Es Yisrael, Lordiv, to quarrel, Al Moshe, Lashon Hif'ilu. They caused others. Hifil, Hif'ilu, they caused others to be incited. So now the puzzle is a very hard puzzle to translate. The puzzle here is telling us that what was their primary goal? Their primary goal was to Behatzoy Samal Hashem. Well, let's see what's going on. Shahitkus Al Moshe Vel Aaron. Ba'adas Karach. Behatzoy Samal Hashem. So it appears that this is the translation. You have to go backwards. Let's first translate the pasuk backwards. The end of the pasuk says Behatzoy Samal Hashem. Who is this referring to? This refers to the Adas Karach. The Adas Karach. They incited the Jewish people to fight, to rise up in protest and rebellion against Hashem. It's a very powerful idea what's happening over here. The pasuk over here is telling us a record that Korach's fight was not a fight against Moshe v'Aaron. Korach's primary fight was a fight against Hashem. They wanted to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is a game changer, this pasuk. And Korach, the Adas Korach, they went and they brought together Klal Yisrael. They incited Klal Yisrael to fight against Hashem. While they were busy getting the whole Klal Yisrael to be incited against Hashem, Dosan Va'aviron, they entered and they tried to now shift the fight. Not maybe not such a shift, but to aggravate this dispute and target specifically Moshe v'Aaron. Had the Jewish people been in obedient to Hashem, they would not have been able to succeed in launching a personal attack against Moshe v'Aaron. But being that the Jewish people were vulnerable, or that, well, let's say Moshe was vulnerable, put it like that, Moshe v'Aaron were vulnerable because the entire Klal Yisrael were rising up against Hashem. Oh, once you're rising up against Hashem, now we can succeed in attempting to channel your grievances against Moshe v'Aaron also. So this pasuk seems to indicate that Korach and his Eidah, they were focused on building against Hashem. And Dothan v'Aviron, their goal was to rebel against Moshe v'Aaron. Look at the pasuk. It says over here, we're going to call them Kirei, means, for the moment now, we're going to call them Kirei, means the leaders. People that are called. They are, Lashon Kirei means to call out to call. You call out to people whenever there's a problem. Let's say you got a problem, what do you call? You call the mayor, you call your councilman, you call the president, you call the governor. When you have an issue that needs to be handled, you call out to the officials. They are the ones that you have on your telephone. I got a problem, I need help. They were people that were called upon, which basically means they were community leaders. They were the community leaders. So here it says, "Vnelia v'dasam v'iram." Who does son va'aviram? It is they dasam v'iram. They are called the Kiriei Hoida. They were the community leaders, and they were miserable failures. What did they do? Asher hitzu. They, Rashi tells us, hitzu is lashon hifil. They incited the Jew. You have to add, there's a missing word in the pasuk. Or few, they incite. Who do they incite? Klal Yisrael, al here means against, to rebel against Moshe v'Al Aaron and Aaron. When did they do this? When they just Stamazoi did this? No, they were only able to do this when Ba'adas Korach, when they participated and partnered with the Adas Korach, when when they rose up to incite the Jewish people, Al Hashem. Okay, so you really gotta go backwards. It's much easier to understand this working backwards. We have here an Adas Korach who is inciting the Jewish people, the Jewish people, Al Hashem. At that moment in time, who joined the insurrection? Dasan Vaviran. And they went and they tried to redirect or to aggravate the rebellion against Hashem by focusing specifically on Moshe v'Aaron. Asher hitzu, the Jewish people, al Moshe v'Aaron. Who is it referring to? We're referring to over here, who dosan v'aviram. Who were they? They were community leaders. And Vinei Eliyav, who is Vinei Eliyav? Nimuel, he had three sons. Nimuel v'dosan v'aviram. Notice you never hear about this guy Nimuel. You never hear about him. You ever hear about him? You know him, Mark? You ever met him before? You never hear about him. How come in this one family, one guy turned out good, Nimuel, and the other two turned out rotten apples? What happened over here? How could it be that one, normally in the family, most of the time, everyone is the same, right? There's a certainty of consistency. Parents know how to be mechanech the children, so they're good all the children. And if the kids are no good, they're all no good. And here we got two that are rotten apples, and one turns out to be a good guy. We never hear any trouble from him, from Nimuel.
Nimuel that's mentioned here by Ruvain, the same Nimuel that's mentioned by Shimon a couple of pesukim later?
Cannot be. Obviously, you're saying a very good point that people had the same name. It's a very good point. There's Nimuel ben Ruvain and a Nimuel ben Shimon. Okay, where we hold it, we're all over the area. We're on the next family. This rumor, it has to be a different Nimuel. Obviously, it cannot possibly be a different Nimuel we have over here. Okay, so this is Rashi. Rashi says, he tells us, Asher Hitzu, you have to add some words. Es Yisrael al Moshe. Behat Saisam, when the assembly of Korach, when they incited Sa'am al Shem, Hitzu, it means Yisivas Yisrael, they raise them up. Loriv to quarrel al Moshe, Lashon Hifilu causative. Now let's see the Targum. Targum. So we're not going to go through Targum. We're just regularly Elin Zar Aya Ruvein Vavay Menyana. We're not going to go through this whole thing because because maybe there might be some parish over here. No, there's no parish anyway. I'll just jump down to Pasuk Tes. Uvneliyav Nemuel. We have all the three sons. Nemuel Vidosan Vaviram. Who Dosan Vaviram? Now here's the word he uses. Me'ore Kenishta. He has translated the word Kirie to mean Me'ore, to incite. Okay, now that's interesting because what's then the word Asher Hitzu? And he says the Is Kinishu. What does that word mean? The Is Kinishu, we have to see. I thought it sounds like a Beis HaKnesses. Is that what it means? No, I don't think so. We have to say Moshe V'Al Aaron Bich Nishto de Korach, the assembly. It does. It means the assembly. It's the same word. Bich Nishto Asher Hitzu. The assembly, Adas Karach, he's translating the word Bechnishta, and he translates the word Hitsu, the same thing. The Is Kinishu. That's the same real word as Kineses. It's Chof, Nun, Shin. It's really the same Sharish in the same order. Chof, Nun, Shin. See, it's Chof, Nun, Shin, Bechnishta, and here is Chof, Nun, Shin. The Karach, Beiska, No, Shehon, Alashem. Now we can be certain over here he's going to come to the rescue, the Ma'atzari, and tell us what's really going on over here. Me'orei ayin ma'ash kosav le'el. Okay, we're not going to... Me'orei, yeah, maybe where is it? Aleph le'el. Aleph tezayin. Okay, me'orei. Ayin le'el bamidbar aleph tezayin. My safe is not here. Maybe I'm going to go look in a second. Give me one. Let's just first go. We'll work backwards. Let's see. De'iska nishu be'iska no shehon. Shenikalu bihiko halam. They gathered in their assembly. So he's right away coming to the point that we obviously over here we are realizing very quickly that we have here a major dispute between Rashi and Unkelus, and now it's fully understandable why Rashi specifically commented only the very short Rashi. See, this is just proof of the pudding. This is all this mamash, a smoking gun. This is the smoking gun to prove. I'm telling you, I am so shocked that they never taught this to me in elementary school, high school, that Rashi's focus is on the Targum. And over and over and over again, you see the smoking gun of proof. This is a very complicated pasuk, and Rashi could have very easily made numerous comments, and he specifically is focusing on what he disagrees with. Rashi says, we had so some, he tells you what it means, Lashon of to raise up, to rise up in riv, in insurrection. Okay, you don't need to have a weapon to be called an armed insurrection. January 6th is called an armed insurrection. And when they question the head of the FBI, tell us, sir, how many weapons did you confiscate from all of the rioters, all of those evil people? How many weapons did you confiscate? Zero. Not even one weapon? Not even a knife? Nothing? No, nothing. So why is it called an armed insurrection? Does it make sense? I don't know. Whatever. It's not a shiur in politics. Vaita. The iskinishu beiskinishoin. Shenikhalu, they assembled behiko halam in their assembly. L'cho'oira hitzu vehatsoisabhem l'shoin matzah umriva. Right, that's a drush, a Pesach drush. That the word hitzu matzah, what does matzah mean? Matzah means to quarrel. When the bread rises, there is a chemical, there is a violent chemical reaction in the leavening process. When you add water to flour and you let it sit for a prolonged period of time and it begins to leaven, the dough begins to rise, there's a violent chemical reaction. When something swells and becomes very large, that's a violent reaction. Okay, that's a very violent reaction. That's called matzah. What does matzah literally mean? Strife, quarrel or quarreling. That's what matzah literally means. It means we're calling it, no, we have now another word here to our list. We have a word, All the words, Yishrash, Yisharesh. Why is it called matzah? Because the real word would appear to be mitzah. What does mitzah mean? Mitzah, not matzah, mitzah means to quarrel. When you manipulate the vowels and you keep the letters the same, you turn the word into its complete 180 degree opposite. If mitzah means to quarrel and you manipulate the vowels, matzah means peace. Peace, rest, desist, go back, chazor boch, don't fight. How do you prevent the matzah from having this violent chemical reaction of where it swells and explodes and rises? By putting it into the oven immediately. Don't let it sit for 18 minutes, and then you're not going to have a mitzah, you're going to have a matzah. Okay, this is something, this is extremely common. We have a long list of words that we've already discovered that have this idea. Like you said, Shabbos Mevarchim, Chilutz Atzamais. What in the world does that mean? Chilutz Atzamais. Ask around. Ask, what are you saying? And Shabbos Mevarchim, Chilutz Atzamais. The only Chalitza that I know is Chalitzas HaNoal. The loosening of the shoe. The Yavama does Chalitzas HaNoal. She takes off the shoe of the Yavama and she spits in front of him. So Chalitza means to release. So how does Chalitza turn into Chilutz Atzamais? The answer is, it's not the same vowels, it's the same letters. But if Chilutz means to loosen the straps and the shoe should fall off, then that's what Chilutz means, tighten. The bones should be firmly inserted into their sockets. That's good health. When the bones of a person are not firmly inserted into the sockets and they're wobbling around in the sockets, you got problems. It's a hospital for special surgery is on the phone. You got a problem. But when the bones are firmly inserted into their sockets, that is called chilutz, in contrast to chalitza with a patach, which means just the opposite, loosen. So mitzah means to fight. Matzah means desist. Stop fighting. Matzah, chometz is mitzah. Matzah is put the thing in the oven and put it out of its misery. That there should not be a violent explosion. You know what it's like, matzah, chometz? It's that when you give someone a compliment, and the compliment after 18 minutes, it sits in the person's head, and it caused the head to swell. And then he can't put on his hat on. The hat doesn't fit anymore. You have to buy a new hat. When you have, so the head is the flower, and the compliment is the water. And when the water, you say, oh, thank you very much, you're very humble. And then you go home and you digest the compliment, and then your head becomes swollen. Just like after 18 minutes, the flower becomes swollen. So you gotta put into the oven to prevent the mitzah. So it's matzah. So here's the question over here. How do you know the word mitzah means to fight? Because this was in this pasuk. Rashi hits the line. Rashi over here says, we got korach. And over here, behatzoisam. What's the shorish of this word? Behatzoisam is mitzah. Even though all the letters disappeared, okay, over here, because it's hitzu, we have over here, the mem turned into a hey, and the hey, the end at the end became silent. But that's what the word really means. It means mitzah, mem tzadi hey, and that's really what he says over here. And he says over here, let's see how he presents this. L'cha'ora, it would appear, the word hitzu and the word hatzaisam heim l'shoin mitzah, umiriva, fighting. Kimo ki yinotzu anoshim. You have a pasuk, a source. Two people are fighting. Ki yinotzu anoshim yachta. They fight. They beat up each other. And the husband of one of them tries to save her husband, and in the process she embarrasses someone. So the pasuk says, cut off her hand. And the Gemara there says, doesn't mean cut off, means mammon, fine. So if we have a precedent, Chumash Pesh Rashi says this explicitly, Ibn Ezra, the oid harehem poelim yoitzim. Now that means they are active verbs. Poel means there are many types of verbs. I never really figured this out. The word poel, we ordinarily treat as a verb. But there are many different types in English also. I don't know anything about grammar. There are different types of verbs. And in Hebrew, there are verbs that are... A verb ordinarily means there's motion, there's activity. But it seems like in Hebrew it's much more complicated. Or maybe not, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Here it's a verb that it's yoitzim, which appears to me that it's active. Fighting, there is an activity of fighting going on. It's not a theoretical concept. Some verbs are theoretical, and some verbs in connote, or the translation means there is activity. A fight means there people's fists are up in the air. There is activity taking place. It's not some theoretical concept that, oh, this car, if you put on the gas pedal, then it doesn't move. No, no, it's in motion. Fight means it's in motion. That is why Rashi had no choice. It doesn't make any sense. That's why Rashi had to add words into the pasuk. Es Yisrael. Av unkelis perush. See this? Now we got this. We really nailed it here. Av unkelis perush. Hitzu l'shoin his asfus. He has a different translation. Totally different translation. It means gathering. A gathering. V'chein perush harebi sadya goin. It means, I don't know what that word means. I don't know what that pasuk means, but he says over here it means mikubatz umeusaf, gathered together. Reish yud kuf. I think that's the name of the author. I think that's the author's own idea. He puts his initials when he says his chidushim. Ein radak v'zer kolosh nakosav leel vayikalu amoshu v'yalu. They gathered. Okay, so yeah, we have a very complicated parish over here in the pasuk according to Targum. And let's go back and look how he translates the pasuk, which is very different than Rashi. Whole new parish in this pasuk. The pasuk over here says, "Uvnei Eliyav Nimuel." We have three sons. Dasan va'aviron had a brother. His name was Nimuel. Obviously, they were two passing ships in the evening. Nimuel was not affected by Dasan va'aviron, and Dasan va'aviron did not ruin Nimuel. He survived. Why did he survive? Look at the end of his name. He had an Aleph Lam, the Hashem's name. He had Hashem's name in his name that prevented the contamination of Dasan Aviram from affecting the purity of Nemu. Nemu had Hashem there. Okay, who Dasan Aviram? Kiri Ho'eda. We have to go back and figure out what that word means. I told you it still means the elite, the community leaders. A community leader is one who you call upon in times of need. What did they do? Dosan Vavin. What did they do? What was their criminal activity? Asher Hitsu. They gathered. They gathered together themselves and other people. They went from door to door. Will you vote for me? We're having a new election. They went like politicians. They went from door to door. They gathered. They gathered to people together. Al Moshe. Against Moshe. V'al Aaron. Against Aaron. Ba'adas Koirach. This is the same as we said before. At the time when Koirach, amongst the assembly of Koirach, when Koirach and his assembly, Be'hatzai Sam, when they gathered individuals, members of Klal Yisrael al Hashem. Okay, so it's the same exact approach as what we said in Rashi. You have to read the pasuk backwards. We have over here Koirach. They were making trouble. And when they were making trouble, Dosan Va'avidim took advantage of the vulnerability of Moshe Rabbeinu at that point in time, and they tried to either exploit the situation, aggravate the situation, redirect, build upon it, and have people get angry at the Moshe the Aaron, and make trouble. The only major difference between the Targum and Rashi is the precise translation. Rashi takes the classic translation, Hitsu Anoshim Ki Yinotsu Anoshim Yachtav, means to fight. There's a very big problem with Rashi. Because according to Rashi, there are words that are missing in the text. You cannot translate the pasuk any longer literally. Because when it says Asher Hitzu, they fought. Kiriya Asher they Hitzu. Now Hitzu is Loshon Hifil. Hitzu, yeah, the word is Mitzah. Doesn't say Mitzah. Doesn't say Nitzah. Or the other, I don't know the grammar. But the word Hitzu is a Hifil form. They caused fighting. Who do they cause to fight? People. They cause other people. You have to add words in. Al Moshe v'al Aaron. They cause Al Moshe when Be'adas Korach. Be'had Sisim. When they, the members of Korach, they were causing an uprising, an insurrection, a coup, Al Hashem. Everything is the same idea except the Targum disagrees. The Targum says what Be'had Sisim means to gather. It doesn't, not a verb fighting. They were gathering people together in order to make an argument. So now we have a real appreciation. Rashi over here clearly looked at the pasuk as uvnei love nimuel v'dasam v'aviram. Who dasam v'aviram? They are dasam v'aviram. Me'ore kenisht. Now it seems like he's coming to translate the word kiri'e, not like what I told you, which means they were leaders of the assembly. It seems like this is the word that the Targum is using to mean they caused trouble, agitation. The word ma'ore, if I'm not mistaken, means to agitate. He's translating the word kiri'e as agitation. That's what it seems. Now, how do you jump, make this leap, this giant leap, and go from the word kuro, the call, to agitation? I don't know. But that's what it seems that he's doing. Rashi is totally silent on this, doesn't comment on this. And then when it says, this doesn't that Hiram, who caused agitation, when there doesn't be Ari Kinishta, they were the agitators of the assembly. The iskinishu, now he's translating the word ashahitsu. When they gathered an assembly of troublemakers, al Moshe the Aaron. When did this happen? When did they have the chutzpah to do this? At the time when Moshe the Aaron were the most vulnerable. When was that? That was Bechnishta, the Korach. That was during the time of the assembly of Korach. When Korach and his assembly, the Iskano Shehon, when they were also trying to gather people together, Al Hashem, to go and rebel against Hashem. Oh, there's rebellion going on. Moshe is vulnerable, so let's now go and redirect the fight to go against Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so this is over here. We learned over here, I think, a lot of things today. We learned over here about number 44. There are 44 families in Klal Yisrael. There may be 12 Shvatim, but there are 44 families from the 12 Shvatim. And all the other 44 is 44 of the volcanoes, the 44 times you say you sprinkle Dam Yom Kippurim, and most importantly, the 44 Neros of Chanukah. One Erev of Chanukah for each family in Klal Yisrael. And then we learned over here about the Yud and the Hay. The Yud and the Hay is Eidus and no one fooled around in Egypt. And there's one Shev that did not need the Yud because his name Yivna has the Yud and Hay. And how interesting it is that the Unkelus, he left out the whole Drasha. And you see Rashi came to fill in where the Unkelus Bedavka left out. And then this Pasuk over here, we see a major Machlekes Rashi and Unkelus. And it's for that reason Rashi only focused on the part that he disagrees with. Clear two psukim here that are mamish. You cannot deny Rashi is just coming to comment on Unkelus. It's a smoking gun. This thesis is solid, rock solid. Okay, everybody, so I have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much for this coming learning with me. I enjoy this very much. Thank you. Have a good night. Mayor, where would you go, Mayor? What's doing, Mayor? Good night. Yeah, Mark, yeah, what are you saying, Mark?
Yeah, so tomorrow morning I'll be with us. The morning I have to take my mother off to the doctor and have an appointment with my wife. But we'll see maybe afternoon.
Mark.
Thank you. The Rabbi Levine. Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
And a little bit before, there's a pasuk lachein emor hineni nosem lo es brisi shalom. This is
the beginning, right.
So Rashi says over there, es brisi shalom shadehelo lebris shalom ka'agdo v'matzik tova v'chinos lemisha osa yimo tova afkan perish lo kodesh baruch hu shalom mosav. So the other day we were talking about Hakaras HaTov. Is this an example of God having Hakaras HaTov towards us, or towards a particular individual? Is this Shlomo Sov Hakaras HaTov?
I'm sorry, I missed the point you're trying to say.
I'm asking, we had, I think the other day we were discussing Hakaras HaTov.
Okay.
I think.
Yes.
We have to have Hakaras HaTov.
Absolutely.
Is there a concept of God having a Hakaras HaTov to us?
I think there is. I believe there is.
This Shalom Osav.
I believe there is.
No, Roshav to Pinchas.
Yes, I believe there is. I believe this. It's. I don't know if you can say Hakaras HaTov because Hashem is the boss. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mifakeach schar kol bria. Kadosh Baruch Hu, see, you know, in the philosophy of religion, if you go take a course, in religion, go to Princeton. Princeton is the premier school of religion. Okay, not talking about the Vatican, talking about in America. You want to get a degree? The people get a degree I know my cousin Meir Soloveitchik. Dr. Meir Soloveitchik. He has a PhD, a doctorate in the philosophy of religion from Princeton University. And I have no doubt there they learned about all. I remember man, when he was in school, I told him, you're taking a course, this, that. I said, so I started giving him a whole drush about the evil genius. What's the evil genius? It's not courses. Is that God? There's God. There is a God. You live in God. But God, Rahman al-Islam, Sabi Kursi, is evil. And he has pleasure in torturing people. Look, the proof is in the pudding. Look how people suffer in this world. There are sick human beings in this world. What are they called? They're called, there's a word for them. I forgot the word. There are people in this world that mamish take delight, just l'shma, of causing people. What are they called?
Did this pick sadists?
No, not sadists. There's something, another word for them. I don't know what it is. They're sick. They're really sick. There's something wrong with their minds. I'm talking about a physical illness. Their minds are totally wired the wrong way. Something went wrong biologically. And they have pleasure. They literally have pleasure seeing people suffer. They torture people just to have that thrill. It's a sickness. There's a name for it. There's a biological deficiency or abnormality in their minds that they have pleasure in seeing people suffer. So there's a school of apikorsis that wants to apply this to Hashem. And listen, look at what goes on in this world. There's much, much more suffering in this world than there is pleasure. Okay, how many moments of pleasure does a person really have in a day in his lifetime compared to all of the agmas nefesh and the struggles and the frustrations and the pain? So this is something which people have to deal with in religion. And the Ramchal, very much to his credit, the Ramchal knocked that out. And Ramchal, we really are living in the shadow of the Ramchal. Ramchal, you have to appreciate, give credit where credit is due. He created he formulated our hashkafa that we take for granted. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to do chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has absolutely zero pleasure in seeing his creatures in pain. And in fact, he has pain. That's even a higher madrig. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels enormous. We don't know how Hashem is beyond infinite. But in the little teeny, teeny microscopic glimpse that we gain to see how Hashem works, we have emuna pshuta that Hashem has real pain in seeing us suffer. And Hashem's goal, his purpose in creating us in this entire world is to do chesed. Is to bestow upon man blessing. The way, unfortunately, a person earns that blessing, unfortunately, at times that we have no understanding of, comes through pain. Whatever that all means. These are all, I'm telling you, words which I have no idea what all these words mean, which is beyond our understanding. Built into that principle is, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has HaKaras HaTov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is grateful to a person that if you do what I send you here in this world to do, thank you. You have done the purpose of what I put you here in this world for. That's built into Yadus. And the proof is, and this is a very basic yesod in Yadus, is that there's a principle of Heve Doime Eloi. Ze Keli Ve'anveu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. And Chazal Darshan, don't just really glorify him, it's a composite of two words, Ani Vuhu. Compare yourself to Hashem. Every single midah that we find, that we are required to engage in, is a reflection of Hashem himself. And if Hashem demands from us, HaKaras HaTov, That means Hashem engages in the midah of our Koras HaTov. Every midah that you find in Pirkei Avos that we praise and we describe and we develop, that's just a revelation that this is how Hashem is operating. And we are just imitating Hashem. We're imitating Hashem. So if we are charged with the mitzvah of Hakaras HaToiv, right? If we are charged with this mitzvah of Hakaras HaToiv, that means Hashem engages in Hakaras HaToiv. So the answer is definitely yes. Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Okay. That's very good. Thank you for that. Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Be well. All the best. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much. Thank you.